Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, today I have the privilege of having very learned scholars and surgeons, doctors and lawyers in my program on Ahlebayt TV. So we're going to talk about certain important issues related to service to humanity. For the last 10 to 12 lectures, I and Ali Azam have been discussing about the role of virtue ethics in moral philosophy. And one example that I gave during one of the discussions was that Imamia Medics International is doing great service to humanity across the world. This is an organization which began in 1994 in New Jersey and has spread to different countries. Now it has branches in almost 21 countries. Last year in Mashhad al-Muqaddas, I was given the honor and the privilege of becoming its global president. Before me, it was Dr. Ashid Kayumi, who is a professor of cardiology in Atlanta, USA. He is here with me today. So let me introduce my guest for this discussion, and we'll talk about the role of Imamia Medics International in service to humanity across the globe. So let me begin with the introduction of Vajih Rizvi, who's the founder of Imamia Medics International. Vajih is an endocrinologist in New Jersey, and he's here to discuss and introduce the subject of Imamia Medics International, and then move to other guests. Vajih.
Thank you, Professor Zaidi, for this opportunity. It's an honor to be at Ahlebayt TV today. Imamia Medics International, or IMI, started as a small entity in 1987. We started with the concept of self-help. So we gathered the young physicians who used to come to US. I was a new entrant to US at that time. And I started my career actually as a postal worker. I used to sort mail at a post office, where on a daily basis I used to see the magazines of the Jewish Medical Association, the Catholic Medical Association, and even Islamic Medical Association. So at that time I thought, when would the time come that we could have an Imamia Medics International, a body of the Shia medical professions of the world. So we started gathering the data and the whereabouts of all our medical professionals in North America. So while still working at the post office, I was able to collect almost 180 some names of the Shia doctors and surgeons established in US, and started writing to them, conveying to them the concept that we should organize ourselves on professional lines and establish a body of an international magnitude to serve humanity. So in a very short period of time, I was able to convince two of the stalwarts, the late Dr. Bakir Rizvi, who was one of the other, one of the three founding members of this body, who died last year in New York, and Dr. Rizwan Kazmi, who is a practicing pharmacist and also an MD. And we sat in the basement to discuss the plans of this body. Around that time, young physicians were also coming to US, so we used to go to JFK to pick these physicians up, lodge them in a house nearby, and provide them all the facilities and so on and so forth. Gradually the caravan started to extend, and very soon we had 35 of the young physicians and pharmacists who started to talk and think much more about this body. And we developed a constitution committee that reviewed the constitutions, the charters, and the manifestos of all the academic and professional bodies in US to arrive at our own version. We spent almost 450 hours worth of discussion and 20 face-to-face meetings to arrive at the version Then we attained the help of the only Shia law firm in America at that time, the Jaffrey and Jaffrey Associates, to have this body incorporated. So in April of 1994, IMI was incorporated in New York as the body of the Shia medical professionals of the world. In the same month, April 1994, we did the first ever conference of the Shia medical professionals of North America that was conducted on 23rd of April 1994 in Boston, where the constitution of this body was unveiled. And the same year, on 10th of September 1994 in New Jersey, the first general body meeting of the organization took place, and the membership of the organization was made open. Subsequent to that, we have held scores of CME accredited conferences in North America and internationally. We have conducted 9 international conferences. And the organization has spread around the world in all continents at this time. It has taken up mega projects like the Hajj Medical Mission, which serves almost 30,000 to 40,000 Hujjaj at the Haram-e Pak on an yearly basis. It has taken up the Arbaeen Medical Project, and the 9th mission will go this year, that serves almost 100,000 patients in Karbala every year. And the body has helped a whole host of young physicians and doctors coming to Europe and North America in a variety of ways. There's a lot to tell, but I would leave a lot to be discussed by my other esteemed colleagues. But I'll leave you with this, that after hectic work over decades, in December of year 2000, IMI became the first ever Shia medical professional body to be accredited with the United Nations. Subsequent to that, we have sent almost 500 of our professionals to multiple conferences at the United Nations. We have co-sponsored certain conferences with UN, and resultantly what has happened is that in year 2006, IMI was granted special consultative status with the United Nations, and so on.
Vijay, can I interrupt you here and maybe ask Professor Arshad Kayumi, who is the chairman of the Academic Council and the immediate past president of the Imami Medics International. Arshad, I know that as a professor in cardiology, based in particularly in research-oriented cardiology in Atlanta, you're doing a great deal of work. And for the viewers, I'd like to say that Arshad has published more than 300 peer-reviewed articles, and is author of several books, and we have great input in all the conference academic activities that we have in the Imami Medics International. May I ask you a question about the academic, the role of academics in the Imami Medics International?
As you have heard, we have a number of initiatives in IMI. Our core purpose is this health and humanitarian mission. But if you think about how that can be propelled and built up over decades, it can only be underpinned by a very strong academic base. So we feel that one of our missions or core missions is education in general. And that has now specifically been expanded and subdivided into many facets that range from educating the younger population, even at high school level and college level, in order to make people aware of the opportunities in individual countries, in healthcare fields, not just medicine necessarily, but dentistry, physical therapy, and others, nursing. So it's sort of educating the young, but also then educating the residents and fellows and so on, the people who are already in medical school, perhaps providing them with opportunities where they can have learning in different settings, in countries abroad where we will have opportunities for them to go, in places where they can serve as well as impart their knowledge. And then we are also thinking that the core activity of sort of conceptualizing the whole academic enterprise will be in our journal. So there is a plan to begin very shortly a Journal of Imamia Medics International, or JIMI, which will be an online open access journal, which will not only be inviting articles and case reports, etc., on general medical fields, but will also have a very distinct section on medical ethics, something that we feel that we have a lot to say and give and educate the remaining communities. And so this will sort of distinguish this journal from all the other many, many medical journals that are out there. And it will also allow us to illustrate within this journal the activities of IMI in general around the world. We also plan to engage some of our faculty, because we obviously have a wealth of talent within our community. We hope that under this academic enterprise, the Academic Council of Imamia Medics International, all these academics within the healthcare arena will be under that umbrella. We are in the process of building a fairly substantial database of expertise, both on the academic side, but also on the clinical side. And then we will be able to use this group to build perhaps colleges and universities in the future, as well as other educational activities that they will do while they are within their career, perhaps taking a week off or 2 weeks off, traveling to other countries where there is a need for education or building quality in hospitals and so on. And these people will be targeting these kinds of enterprises. So I think, you know, you can extend this academic enterprise into many different categories. We are in these different areas, which I've tried to conceptualize in a very simple way here. And hopefully we will be able to engage a larger community in this effort.
Well, thank you, Ashar. I'll move on to Sakina. Sakina, I know you've been the Ruhe Rawa of the organization. Any other jism mein ruh hai to aap hain. Aur beta aapne bahut kaam kiya hai aur main aapko bahut bachpan se taqreeban janta hu. Allah ne aapko mashallah itni salahiyatein di hain. So your role in the Imamia Medics International is immense. I mean, everybody acknowledges it. Can you tell us, audience, our audience, what your role is and how you're integrating the global activity of the IMI through your office in New Jersey, and what are the future plans of the establishment of the headquarters?
Absolutely. And, you know, in front of everyone that's here today, I don't know that I deserve the words that were just said, but in terms of headquarters, I do... out of the global headquarters, my role, my title is as Chief Program Officer. And what that really means is we do whatever it takes. IMI, over more than 25 years, has been changing lives, and it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of that. And headquarters is that one consistent administrative body for this organization during this time. We have... as every nonprofit and charity does, we have the Board of Regents and we have a global governance structure. HQ is the implementing and administrative wing of that. So the strategic vision for the organization comes from the Board of Regents, and we execute. We obviously, run the day-to-day. And what that means is we want to make sure that there's financial and legal accountability and transparency. There's a lot of regulatory jargon, within this that I won't bore the audience with. But a lot of it is making sure that the background work to have a legal entity do the kind of work that we're doing in the places that we are at. It is not easy working in Iraq. It is not easy having a large international conference with almost 800 physicians from everywhere, including the US, in Iran. The only way that happens is if you have the strong faculty, the academics, the reputation of the program, but also a strong administrative structure and an infrastructure. Masha, over the last, you know, in the leadership that we've had over the last several years of our global presidency, IMI has grown. We've increased our chapters to have activities and chapters being established in Africa, across the Middle East. We now have a new IMI Europe umbrella body. But the one thing that's remained consistent in all of this development and all of the increase of the global work and the reputation is HQ. IMI's global headquarters are, you know, we definitely need more infrastructure development there. The vision that the global body has moved forward and IMI globally is moving forward with is, you know, after 25 years, our global headquarters needs to be one of elegance and of a certain stature. We are a professional body. We are an academic institution. We should have a library. You know, mm-hmm. We do trainings, we do coursework, we need auditoriums, we need a large professional institution. Our global headquarters is out of the US, and so what that means is we'll continue to have a presence there, but we are an international entity. So what we are, you know, the vision for the physical structure is to have something that after 30 years of working remotely, working in basements, working without needing that physical presence, we need to make sure we have that now. We're looking at land, we're looking, there. You know, there's a lot of information out there if anyone is interested, because honestly, we need the help. We have been working very hard to serve the community, and this will strengthen the community. We need at least 3 to, I'm biased. I would love 5 more staffers. We have 1.5 positions filled currently, which means technically only 60 hours of work is currently supported out of a global international headquarters that operates on pretty much every continent other than South America. This is work that has been recognized at the United Nations. This is work that has been recognized by various national societies at the highest levels. This is our community's work. This is work that is happening to strengthen not only the professional lives and the economic upliftment of our communities in different countries, but also to actually make sure that there are lives to be had. We do a lot of work protecting Shia healthcare workers generally, and our Shia associate members, our Shia community members, from a lot of the violence that's happening globally. We help with asylum, we help with, you know, a variety of issues. This is what this HQ does. This mm-hmm. HQ is really just the core for moving this organization and the future of our community together through a health platform. What this means is, you know, and I know that this isn't perhaps the purpose of being here today, but we need you. We need every single one of our community members that are watching this that can support us and help us to click now and go to imamiamedics.com/donate. Set up, be a monthly donor. There is an option to be a recurring donor there. You can do it in dollars, you can do it in pounds. There are a variety of ways of donating. And I will give you the email address that you can reach us at imihq@imamiamedics.com if you have any questions. We are at the stage where we are looking towards long-term fiscal security. So we are exploring opportunities through businesses, through investments for future security. Our immediate need, however, is that honestly, the capacity that we're at, we will not be able to last to see over 100,000 people in 10 days in Iraq during Arbaeen every year without the support. We will not be able to assist the mobile medical unit in Aligarh that goes out into the remote area and sees a 17-year-old patient, Shahida, who has a congenital heart defect, who then, from a remote area, gets her connected to support in New Delhi to get within 6 to 8 months. You know, this is a life saved. It's a life changed. We've gotten so much community support and people asking us what they can do. This is what you can do. You can go right now and give. HQ needs you. Sorry.
Thank you, Sakina. You mentioned about IMI Europe, and yes. I have Ali Mehdi here, who's a surgeon, orthopedic surgeon in Scotland, and Ali Mehdi has been elected to head the IMI Europe chapter. May I ask you, Ali, what is your role and what is the future vision for IMI Europe? And then we'll talk, go back to Veggie and ask about the future vision of the IMI globally. I know that in March last year, you invited me over to Edinburgh, and we had a wonderful meeting in the Parliament, with the Scottish Parliament, with the help and collaboration of our partners in Service to Humanity, Scottish Allopath Society, where the First Minister also came, and we had a lot of international ambassadors, councillors, etc. Would you tell our audience what is the role of IMI Europe, and what is your future plan, maybe in the next 2 to 5 years?
IMI Europe has just started out. It's taken the lead from IMI UK and at a much bigger level from IMI. Dr. Vajir Rizvi was explaining, IMI has already set out a global program that engages people within different communities at an international level. Our role in the UK is about engaging with the local communities, with engaging with you and the wider community. So more recently we've set out a program of a program that we hope will eventually develop to assist the elderly in staying well, and if they're not well, in helping them, because the age demographic is changing. The first immigrants to this country from the Asian subcontinent and the Middle East started coming here in the 1940s and sort of, you know, reached a peak in the 60s, and those people have reached a certain age where either their health is failing or they're possibly lonely. So our flagship project at present in the UK is where we are trying to go in and trying to keep up people's health. It's a widely acknowledged fact that when physical activity declines out of loneliness, then mental health issues develop, the faculties start to fail. And there has to be, I mean, we are hoping that we bring in a program that keeps people's health in good shape with physical activity, with mental activities such as yoga and psychological exercises, underpinned, of course, by spiritual guidance. So we started a program 3 weeks ago in Streatham at the SIES, and with Dr. Zaidi's guidance, that program has now, mashallah, reached its third week, and we're hoping to expand it further. What we're hoping to do is, through projects like these, engage medical professionals to come out and actually give back to you, but also the wider community. Because I think it's important for us, having lived here and enjoyed the benefits of essentially what is a liberal, tolerant society, who's given us the space to be what we are, to actually give back, so that people know that we, from the Shia faith, actually contribute in a positive way to society and give in a way that a lot of other communities across the world give and also get security from.
Thank you, Eddie, and I know that you're doing a lot of good work, and inshallah more is to come. I'll come back to Vajee, because we've been talking over the years about the further future development of IMI, and I think the fundamental, the core message of Imami Medics International is to serve humanity through health and education. I know you have future plans, so I'm going to ask you about the future plans for the next 2 to 5 years, because the long-standing problems, plans could be different. Do you have any specific programs for development of educational activities or health programs in Iraq, Iran, Southeast Asia, even Africa that we recently? May I ask you to tell us more about the activities in the future?
Thank you, Dr. Zaidi. The plans, as you heard, Dr. Qayyumi has mentioned about the creation of academic council. So there's a lot of educational activity that would happen or would be formalized more through the academic council Dr. Kayumi plans to have specialty focus groups established so that in areas of need, we can send specific delegations to satisfy the needs of the local countries. Similarly, a journal, Journal of Mammary Medics International, of which you're also at the editorial board, would do and meet the specific needs in terms of medical academics and research. Another need that was felt quite acutely for many decades is the need to educate our own community and our professionals in medical ethics. And a Global Medical Ethics Council has recently been established to satisfy that. In terms of the country-specific needs in terms of education and research, there's a lot that needs to be done.
Also health, because
and
that
health
is,
awareness.
If you can tell us more about the health awareness programs and
yes.
and service that you're providing to the community at large in different parts of the world, like
yes.
Sakina mentioned about the Aligarh project. I know
yes.
you're doing some projects in Pakistan,
yes.
you're doing some projects in Iraq,
yes.
Iran.
So there are about 20-some clinics that are run from IMS platform in Pakistan and India. In Pakistan, for instance, work is going on in 20 cities, and there are about 7 clinics that have been established. The most outstanding clinic in Pakistan operates from Nawabshah
mm-hmm.
in interior Sindh, where 1,200 patients are seen on a monthly basis. In India, the most outstanding clinic is from Hyderabad, Dakhin, where another 1,500 some patients are seen from the Getwell clinic in Hyderabad. Aligarh also has a very good clinic that sees almost 1,000 patients on a monthly basis. These patients are charged very nominally, just
mm-hmm.
maybe 5 rupees, and they're provided medications free of cost. In both India and Pakistan, these clinics are doing quite good, and there's plan to expand these clinics. There are also mobile clinics and dispensaries and physical therapy units. In addition, a lot of work has been done in terms of rehabilitation, both from the health perspective and from the education perspective of the Shia professionals who have been killed in attacks of violence or have been the victims of violence. So quite a bit has been spent in regards to their education and catering to the healthcare needs of those who have lost their kith and kin. Additionally, one of the most robust programs that IMI is running on an international level is to facilitate the entry of the young professionals in Europe and America.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, we have had the opportunity to serve almost 300 of the young professionals who come for post-graduation to provide them residency observerships, externships, internships, research placements, and to enable them to compete in a competitive environment in North America. And the same has happened in UK, where our stalwarts have left no stone unturned to have young professionals set in. So primarily, these activities are ongoing and they'll continue to grow.
Thank you, Vijay. I'll come back to Arshad because it's an academic question. I know that you've been very actively involved in looking at the prospects of developing either an international university of health sciences or a medical school, or even at the grassroots level, go to different areas to teach them through either internet or webinars. Have you had any success in the recent times, or are you still hoping that one day success will come
yes.
your way?
So the webinars are going on.
Yes.
We are trying to connect more and more of these educational sessions through the web, whether they be lectures
yes.
by yourself and others, or whether they are case presentations and so on. So these activities have been going on for a while. We're trying to also connect or make available to people in different countries access to grand rounds and these kinds of activities that are now openly available from institutions where IMI faculty work. So that's another sort of a something that can be accessed very freely and is going to be available. Similarly, the journal itself will be online. This consideration of us having an educational institution that would be primarily devised by IMI is a discussion that we are having currently. As you know, we've been traveling around the world working on these issues and are currently in that process. And the concept there is twofold. We're talking about a virtual setup where, again, a whole curriculum will be developed and will be available online, and it will be like an open university kind of setup. But as you know, medicine, nursing, and these healthcare fields actually need actual patient contact, and there has to be a physical presence as well. So we are under some various levels of discussions in various parts of the world to see if we can be part of these kinds of enterprises where our gift to this university will be our faculty, which is really the membership who hopefully are listening to us. Mm-hmm. And really one thing that a forum like this affords us is access to our own community. I think IMI, if you think about it, is one of the best kept secrets in our own society, in our own community.
Well said, Arshad, well said.
And it's really, we are really grateful for this forum and the availability of this television program to really speak to the rest of our community, rest of the world, to first of all congratulate them because they are actually owners of this amazing enterprise that has been developed by people like yourselves and the stalwarts that have carried
it. Mr. Bagozedi, I think, should be thanked for giving us this opportunity. He's been very kind. We've been running these shows on moral philosophy and virtue ethics and science of life, and I should like to thank him, record a thank on behalf of the IMI, that Allahabad TV has been extremely, extremely helpful and giving us the opportunity of conducting courses and lectures and things. Absolutely. So coming to the question of community service, I think Sakina, maybe you can tell us more about the support that IMI UK provided in the crisis, the refugee crisis that was in FC. And also that recently when we were in Vienna day before yesterday, somebody mentioned about the crisis that's happening in the refugees and how can we be?
Absolutely. A big part of IMI's work for the last 25 years has been providing humanitarian relief. Mm-hmm. And over the years, it's been from the bomb earthquake to Sri Lanka to Hurricane Katrina. Globally, we do this work. What we've noticed is now there's a pattern of a lot of conflict creating the global displacement crisis, where you have a number of Syrian refugees as well as other refugees flooding Greece. I think this is a situation that everyone is aware of. It is a critical, it's a global crisis. And IMI UK now IMI Europe as well are working with a coalition here in Europe that is called the Zenobia Alliance for Refugees. And ZAR basically brings together a number of our community organizations to actually assist in Greece providing relief for refugees. I know that our physicians have gone. What we do is sort of on the headquarters side, there's two different coalitions. Masha, IMI, and the IMI family are very large. IMI US is working with a coalition in the US to fundraise and to raise either money for medication or actually specific medications that could be used for relief once our delegates go to Greece. And so we'll get applications, we'll process them on to IMI UK. IMI UK through the council and through ZAR, the alliance, will help place a regular core of people providing service in Lesbos. We're doing similar work in other places. In Vienna, we have been having discussions with them about the number of asylum seekers that have come. Their core needs here are actually language assistance. The community is not in as acute a crisis as those arriving in Greece. They are, you know, a lot of them have been granted asylum, but it's about resettlement. It's about making sure that they can learn the language, they can actually start to earn an income and to support our community. A lot of them are part of the Hazara community, you know, and we've been doing a lot of work on the UN and on the advocacy side to make sure that they're not forgotten. And this community and this asylum issue of ours is critical, even though it's separate from the global displacement crisis. But these are two of the crises that have sort of spilled over into Europe. We also have right now another relief, a recent relief project that we've been working on has been in Iraq after the Karada attack,
mm-hmm.
Providing support for the families of that attack. We do ongoing work every few months. We have delegations that will be heading to Iraq that are specialty based, which are outside of that humanitarian realm of disaster relief and recovery, but they're important in that they tie into capacity building and really trying to make sure that when an emergency happens, ultimately we hope to be out of a job. We want to make sure that we can train people mm-hmm. locally to take care of themselves. And so in Iraq, we're doing a lot of this work, actually tying in what Dr. Kayumi was talking about and what you had asked about with the online courses. We've been working with on the issue of developmental disabilities and mm-hmm. neurodisabilities in Iraqi children for about 4 to 5 years now. Dr. Homan Naqvi, who's a member of our Board of Regents, she sort of spearheaded this project. They had gone with their earlier delegation.
She's from New York.
She's faculty at Albert Einstein Montefiore Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is after her first visit there, she noticed that there's a pattern where most likely due to all of the warfare and the recent conflict in Iraq, there's been a spike in the developmental disabilities in children in Iraq. And to the degree that, you know, the society doesn't know what to do. So, you know, she took the initiative. We worked with her out of HQ also on trying to make sure she had what she needed for her proposals and doing the grants and moving this work forward. But we started with, you know, talking about this at Albert Einstein Grand Rounds, getting global micro grants, things like that. And now, you know, we have an agreement with Albert Einstein, IMI, and a rehab facility.
So Albert Einstein is a teaching university hospital in New York.
Yes, yes. Albert Einstein is a well-recognized institution in New York. And we are working with their faculty, IMI faculty, you know, who would translate into the academic council, to do online training with components of in-person hands-on training. And how that works is, you know, we have a platform set up where there are about 20 or 30 different modules for each area that they'd be covering. And what they would do is essentially release specific chapters of the course. There are about 70, this is the second year of this training component, but, you know, at the completion of the first year, I think about 70 healthcare workers from Iraq were trained. Now, there were physical therapists, there were physicians, so it was a range of folks who were involved in, or of professionals who were involved in physical medicine and rehabilitation. They did a lot of, they did a couple in-person sessions in various cities in Iraq. In fact, they've just come back about a week ago from the latest in-person training as well. So it's merging both, doing the online education using the resources that we have because we understand that we can't be there. Around, you know, for the entire year, but using that, but complementing it with the hands-on work that is required as well.
Well, that's wonderful, Sakina, but I want to bring in Ali Mehdi here because I know that in Barbados, when he established the School of Medicine on behalf of IMI, I went there to establish from day one, and then I invited Ali Mehdi to conduct a course in the Caribbean, first time ever conducted by the Royal College of Surgeons. That was a great service, appreciated by everybody. Could I ask Ali, what was the course like? And the other thing is that I have to ask about this visit that we're having into Geneva for the Human Rights Commission, and you are an active member and you've been working hard. Can you tell us about that, please? As a service to community.
I'll start off with the visit to Geneva. The commitment to the community actually runs at different levels. Of course, you know, using IMI's advocacy platform, we in Europe have easier access to Geneva, and what we're hoping to do is to raise advocacy issues that are current in any particular session of the UN Human Rights Commission. So an issue that's coming up very shortly is about human rights abuses committed by various governmental organizations in Pakistan. So that's going to be laid out at the next session. So we'd like to be there and actually hear and make an assessment. I mean, we're very fortunate to have Professor Zaidi on our team, but also a young law student from Edinburgh University from our community who will be able to understand the legal ramifications of this. I mean, we're hoping to build this program where we have youngsters from our community who can actually volunteer for this. And what that will do for them is bring a greater sense of engagement, provide them with networking opportunities, and at the same time, it'll be look good on their CV. And we're hoping to widen this program out when we are more settled with our visits to, say, people of any background who come from a deprived background. It'll be great. It'll be our way of sort of, you know, giving back to the local community, having an engagement with them. On the other subject of the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh, it was a huge privilege. I mean, Barbados is lovely. The beaches were great. And
what about the campus?
The campus was wonderful. Mm. It was right on the sea. Mm. So I think that was a unique opportunity. And the course that we're talking about, it's a course, and I think it's important for people to understand that we often talk about, say, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and we talk about people's hips and knees and the pains they have, which are followed by replacement. But what there seems to be a slight deficit in understanding is the fact that there are ways of treating this problem without surgery. And it was a course focused on non-operative interventions that any primary care or GP, any primary care practitioner or GP would be able to tell their patients about things to do to strengthen their knees, to lose weight, to sort of, you know, develop good posture, and how to access resources that would help them deal with joint pains, rather than go to an orthopedic surgeon, which in this country takes a long time, access is difficult, and then by the time they get there, hear that they need an operation. So it was, and we had this opportunity to reach out to a wider community. I mean, the doctors weren't from our faith, they were from the local doctors drawn from Barbados. So it was a huge opportunity on behalf of Imamia Medics International.
Right. So coming back to Imamia Medics International and the role of Imamia IMI in service to humanity, the three themes are service to humanity, beyond and above all faiths and religions. Basically, humanity is the supreme. But of course, we have Islamic Shia faith that is an integral part of our community and our thinking and our philosophy. And we serve the humanity through health and education. What I would like to discuss briefly in about the next 4 to 5 minutes about the role of IMI in, let's say, community at large at the national levels as well as global level with all of you together, maybe you can open up whoever wants to open the discussion in the next 5 to 10 minutes, is that how can Imamia Medics International benefit the humanity at large? Anyone, please.
So I'll take the first chapter. First of all, I want to mention for the general audience that there is a misnomer in the community that the membership of IMI is only restricted to medical professionals, right. And that is not the case. There are various kinds of membership. The medical professional membership is, yes, of course, is for the medical professionals, and they could be physicians, pharmacists, nurses, or paramedics.
Even volunteers outside of medical profession?
Yes. So the associate membership is available for anybody in the community, and they could belong to any profession or students. Actually, there are special rates for students and retired professionals who can benefit from it. Right. So that is number one. Number two, in terms of humanity, as you very rightly said, that our motto is to serve humanity regardless. So one of the things that we have done is to bring the communities and the faiths together by conducting a number of interfaith programs. Especially the interfaith medical programs or interfaith medical programs. So, for instance, in Chicago, one of our Board of Regents member has done an interfaith medical ethics program on end-of-life issues. So we had the Jewish rabbi and we had the pastors and we had the imams to discuss the end-of-life issues in all divine faiths. Similarly, on a personal level, I'm an endocrinologist, so I thought of an idea to bring everybody together on an interfaith diabetes day. So some years ago, we held the first ever interfaith diabetes day that was acknowledged by the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, and their president came to attend that session, and this was advertised by AACE to 7 million locations, acknowledging that this was the first ever interfaith diabetes day in America. In this, people from all centers, you know, churches and synagogues and gurdwaras and imambargas and mosques, and everybody was present. And subsequent to that, we had requests from a variety of centers and places of worship to conduct such seminars, which we have subsequently conducted and done a free diabetes screening, for instance, in many places.
Before you start, Rashad, I'm going to ask Vajit, this Alabat TV has given us great, this great opportunity. How can we introduce these programs in United States of America and Canada? Because I was recently in Toronto, and I know a lot of people watch these programs because Alabat TV is doing a great service to education, and this is an educational activity. Is there a way that we can link to any TV channel or something that we can do in the United States and Canada to promote the cause of education through the Alabat TV?
Yeah, thank you very much for this question, actually. Dr. Kayumi, Sakina, and Dr. Mehdi, we were all discussing a little while ago that if given the opportunity, we would like to request all our TV channels all across to provide us some time on their networks so that we can educate the community on burning issues in health and education.
Any particular program that you can think of, like an X number of hours a week or every month, and have interactive dialogue maybe?
Exactly. We can have a variety of such things. We can have a panel discussions where the audience can ask questions, and we can have an expert panel like this. And a multi-specialty panel, a cardiologist, a gastroenterologist, a rheumatologist, and the common ailments that the communities suffer or they have questions, you know, they can ask the expert panel, and this will be an interactive dialogue that can benefit a whole array. I have seen that happening in some other networks not belonging to our community, but if given the opportunity, that is one way. An interactive dialogue is a very good tool of education.
Also, I think we can expand it to the service to community at large, with outside of medical profession.
Yes.
We advise them about health programs. We talk about various issues related to their financial well-being, because we have experts in IMI. I know at least two or three people who can advise on financial difficulties or how to promote their financial stability or family problems, etc. A whole lot of area of thoughts. Arshad, would you like to add anything to this comment?
I think I can tell you about, I think, two additional initiatives and programs that have either started or are going to be developed in a bit more expansive fashion. So one is bringing our youth into, as it were, into a leadership role within society, and then to, if they wish to, even learn more about the healthcare arena as a place where they might spend the rest of their careers. And in order to do this, what we have started to do for the last couple of years is to have a youth leadership conference. And this has now been joined up with the annual Imamia Medics Conference, which is more geared towards healthcare professionals. So in parallel, one occurs with the other. So if you were to come to it, but you can bring your children there and your youngsters, and they can become inculcated, not necessarily in the medical field, but actually in learning skills of life, basically, how to write a decent resume, how to lead, how to think through problems, how to face challenges in life, you know, kinds of things that you and I probably never had. But we somehow made it to a certain level, and where else could we have been had we been sort of shown these tricks and what have you. So we have amazing leaders who are in the business field, not just in medicine again, in engineering, in computer sciences. They come, they are now running companies and are very successful. They can impart their knowledge on a one-to-one basis. Mentor-mentee relationship can be built up. And this can be done at a local level. It can be done at a national level. And this is one of the most beautiful things that you can see. And it only takes a day or two a year to do that. So this can be unfolded, and this can be wrapped into a series of events that can go from community to community wherever the Shia population is worldwide. So that's one good thing. The other is health education, which I think was your question of the community.
Right.
And so if you think about how medicine is practiced, how we practice medicine, we do disease care. Right, we wait till you've developed your high blood pressure, your diabetes, and start injecting things. But what we are very bad at, and because the system doesn't operate that way, is to maintain health or even understand what healthiness is. Ali Mehdi was saying, you know, how to avoid back pain and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better to avoid it than to wait till it develops and then start seeing an orthopedic surgeon. So health education, or even understanding what the true meaning of health is even what the medical community is beginning to unravel and understand. And the best way that we can help the community at large is to not just to detect what disease is there, but to actually teach them how to avoid it. And so that they actually don't have to seek physicians, other than, you know, sort of preventative care and shots and things like that. So I think what we want to do through the council is to have some brochures, which can be online. They can be mailed to the Imam Bargas, which is where most of our community gathers, and they can be disseminated that way. And of course, our physicians themselves can take on, you know, 5 or 10 minutes every month or so to perhaps concentrate on a single subject. You know, so in the Ramadan season, what happens with fasting and high blood pressure or diabetes, you know, the usual issues that we face. But rather than the patients having a complication from this and coming to you, you actually deliver this before Ramadan season, before Hajj, you know, how to prepare for it.
Yes, and I was actually just going to add in
there. Yes, again. Go ahead.
I was just going to add in there that I think when we're talking about the community generally, when you talk about the communities that we live in,
yes.
You know, you do this very well in Atlanta, where you have a health fair that does the preventative lectures and discussions, but you also have care that is given, because unlike those of you in this part of the world, in the U.S., we have issues actually seeing doctors. We don't have coverage. We have a lot of indigent communities that are not insured or underinsured, and they're outside of our faith communities, but there are still people in need. And the health fair in Atlanta, you know, it's grown from one day to, you know, over three days or a week. And you're offering multiple layers of services there. So from prevention to actually diagnostics and treatment and everything. And that is a very, very valuable way to be a part of something larger. We're serving humanity. You know, the vision of IMI is, whoso saveth the life of one, as if he has saved all humanity.
That is a mission statement.
That is the vision.
Can you repeat it for the audience, please?
And whoso saveth the life of one, it is as though he has saved all humanity.
Very well.
I think I stumbled a little on that one, but it's 532. Mm. You know, and that is the core of what we do and who we are.
Right.
Whether it is in our relief when we're out in Haiti, we're working in partnership with people in Nepal. We are doing things like Beat Diabetes for World Health Day. You know, IMI US launched a series of events all over the US. IMI India did some programming. There are a lot of different campaigns that happen. So for World Health Day this year, it was Beat Diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Simple things. Going to Rutgers University in New Jersey, doing a screening for anyone that walked up. Great.
Would you like to add anything, Ali?
Yes, I mean...
Because we're only about a couple of minutes to wind up.
Right, okay. I was going to say, in connection with one huge service that IMI does, and I think we probably didn't mention enough of, is provide the relief effort for the Zairin in Karbala. Now, my sort of... I was there a few years ago, and I was on the field, and I have to say that it's an eye-opening experience. Spiritually, it's very fulfilling. So if there are any young doctors out there, you should go. And actually, in fact...
And nurses from and dentists.
And dentists and allied health professionals.
Right.
You should go out there because you will find that not only does it open up an opportunity for you to learn new and, you know, function in an environment that you're so not used to, but also it is a huge spiritual journey. It's a tremendous experience. On a slightly different note, I would also like to say that we are hoping that by the time, inshallah, over the next few weeks in Muharram, we'll be circulating a flyer for the Arbaeen mission so that the Zairin know as well that Imamia Medics is on hand. It's there for you. So that if you have the slightest medical problem, pitch up there. You'll have an international team of doctors who will advise you on your medical needs. We can't promise that, you know, we'll be able to treat an emergency or deal with a problem because we don't have the capacity at present. And inshallah, I mean, you know, that time will come where we'll be able to have our own field hospital. But we need that support. And so we are there to provide you with support. So for young doctors, I would say it's a huge learning opportunity, a spiritual experience.
When you say doctors, and medical professionals.
Medical professionals, indeed.
Dentists.
So we will be sending our flyers to the Imam Bargas to let you all know about the Arbaeen mission and how one can get in touch if there's a medical issue.
Last word from you, Raji, because you're the founder of the IMI, and we look for your visionary leadership has brought the IMI from nowhere to a global entity.
Well, thank you, Dr. Zaidi, for this. So my last word is in terms of...
So word of wisdom.
Words in terms of a request.
Yes.
And Allah says in Holy Quran that He does not change the condition of a nation if the nation doesn't try to change the condition of itself.
Right.
So I really request the audience one thing, that see, it is very important that that the only Shia medical professional body in the world that is engaged in so many projects and so many more that are coming to support this entity in practical terms, giving a good suggestion is a great practical help. Criticizing when it is needed is an even better help. And donating a dollar a day goes a long way in saving millions of lives across the world. So although it's not a fundraising event,
no, it isn't.
But with your permission, since I have the...
The community knows now that what IMI is doing, and obviously they're out there to help us. And
so if you could donate $1 a day, it will go a long way in establishing this nation on very solid footings in the world. IMI's contact information is available on our web.
I think we'll put it on the web page.
Perfect.
I'll request it. Yes. Thank you, Vaji, and thank you, Arshad, Vaji, right. Ali Mehdi, and Sakina. So, ladies and gentlemen, dear viewers, we had a wonderful discussion on the subject of service to humanity. For the last several months, I have been conducting these programs under the caption of Moral Philosophy and Virtue Ethics, and one of the messages that we constantly, Ali Azam and I discussed, in about 10-12 lectures, is that whatever you see in terms of or read in terms of theory, you should apply in day-to-day life. Here we have an example of an organization of professionals across the world whose main motto is to apply virtue ethics in day-to-day life. Talking about courage to go to distant areas, remote areas, there's a hurricane or there's a storm or there's any kind of calamity, these doctors and their allied professionals go out there on behalf of Imamia Medics International to help the humanity. And they don't do it as a job or as a profession. They do it for eudaimonia, pleasure of the soul, pleasure of the soul. And they do it repeatedly. So it is not one-off action. They do it constantly. And I've been involved for several years in these projects. So they have the typical application of courage, compassion, knowledge, justice, and most important of all, joy of doing good to the humanity. And Imamiya Medics International is doing it through health and education. Thank you, Wes, and thank you, my guests. Most grateful to you all. Thank you.